Please rise if you are able for the reading of the scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Sovereign One has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and rulers to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your descendants shall come from far away, and your children shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of our God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
January 6th is Epiphany. And as the church, since we do not worship on Tuesday, we are celebrating it this weekend. Epiphany literally means manifestation or revelation from the Latin epiphaneia. In the church, it is a celebration of the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles and the gift of the light which Christ is for the world. In our new worship series, which we begin today, we will be spending the weeks between now and the beginning of Lent focusing on the ways that our mental health is connected to our spiritual health. The series summary says, like the lack of sunshine that precipitates seasonal affective disorder, the lack of light in the dim corners of our psyche and soul can bring on a spiritual affective disorder that leaves us with all manner of symptoms. Our passage from Isaiah focuses on rising up and receiving God's abundance as like a light dawning upon us. This passage, written to the Jewish people after they returned to Jerusalem following their Babylonian captivity, offers hope for people in the midst of despair. So perhaps these words can help us too, when we are faced with circumstances that lead us to hopelessness and depression. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember at some point when I was growing up that my mom or my dad shared with me that winters were hard for my Grandma Weber. Between the shorter days and longer nights, the cold weather, which meant not getting outdoors as much to take a walk or to garden, she would get down. We never really talked about it as depression, but it certainly could have been. January and February are particularly hard months for many people. That's why some of you go to Florida. We never really talked about it, we are experiencing a letdown from the holidays, dealing with credit card bills perhaps from overspending during said holidays, setting resolutions that may be a struggle to keep, and dealing with winter weather, just to name a few of the reasons that January and February are hard. So some of us are indeed dealing with the winter blahs. And some of us are experiencing or know someone who is struggling with diagnosed depression or some other kind of mental illness like anxiety. Unfortunately, we don't speak often enough about our mental health in society, and we certainly don't speak about it very much in the life of the church. In the past, there has been a lot of shame associated with it, as well as the fact that some think that if someone is depressed, they just need to snap out of it, or have more faith. In this series, we will talk about mental health more deeply and how it connects to our spiritual health as well as our physical health. I believe that there is certainly a mind-body-spirit connection for us as human beings. And each week, there will be a spiritual practice to help us maintain balance in these areas, whether or not we ourselves are experiencing depression or some other mental illness or not. If nothing else, this series will give all of us a better understanding of the body-mind-spirit connection so that we can be aware of what those around us and their loved ones might be experiencing. In the resources for this series, Ben Hensley states, "Depression, from its mildest to its most pathological and severe, can look like many things: sadness, irritability, and fatigue." He goes on to say, "I think all of us can resonate with having those emotions. Perhaps it's a seasonal, passing depression. Perhaps it is thorough and has been lifelong. Depression can come about because of grief, trauma, or childbirth. There are many causes, and sometimes one can move through it unassisted. Others may need medication, psychotherapy, a support group, or some other kind of treatment. Whatever the case or situation, our call as Christians is to offer love and compassion in the same way that we would offer someone those same things, whether if they're fighting cancer, have MS, or any other type of physical illness. But let's take a moment to look at our scripture text and how it might relate to this topic. There is a connection. The passage before us is from what is called 3rd Isaiah by biblical scholars. There are distinct sections of the book that scholars believe were written by three different people. The prophet's words in 3rd Isaiah are for the Hebrew people who returned to Jerusalem upon the invitation of the Persian ruler Cyrus. The people were returning to the city of their temple, the central place of worship. They would be obviously experiencing joy, but also perhaps some anxiety. Because as we learned during our Advent series, as a people, Israel continually dealt with those who wanted their land and their allegiance. For a people who had lived in exile, reflecting on their history and all that had happened to them, it would not have been surprising to fall into a state of discouragement, despair, or depression. This oracle in chapter 60 from Isaiah encouraged God's people as a whole to arise, to keep getting up, to keep beginning another day, remembering that they are God's people upon which God's light shines. The command to arise is a reminder that for us, getting out of bed every morning is an act of faith and hope. We get up knowing that there will be at least one thing we will be called to do today, whether that's giving our spouse, our child, or a friend a hug, going to work so that we can provide for our family or for ourselves, smiling at a store clerk who seems to be having a bad day, or calling a friend who relies on us for connection. So often when people are depressed, they really struggle to get out of bed in the morning, often because of the heaviness of fatigue that they feel. But sometimes it's due to the fact that they are unable to see how their situation, whatever it is, will get better, or how their life matters. God is saying through Isaiah that the light of God always shines upon us. That is something for which to be grateful. and could perhaps be a way to encourage someone in the depths of despair, that God's light always shines upon them. Speaking about depression is a challenging thing to do because it is so varied from person to person. I'm going to be vulnerable this morning by telling you that I myself have struggled with depression since my late 20s. I have been blessed with health insurance that has provided for me the resources that I have needed to address it. Psychotherapy and a psychiatrist to deal with medication helps me to function. There are times, of course, when it gets worse, usually due to some kind of particular stress or a particular event. And those are times when I need to stay connected not only with my healthcare providers, but with my friends and my family. I know that I need to keep getting up and focusing on the tasks or work for me that day. Finding joy in a creative pursuit or going on a walk and reminding myself of the beauty of God's creation also helps. I know, however, that not everyone has the same experience as I have had with this illness. I don't seem to have trouble getting up out of bed. Arising is fine. I can do that. But for some, medication makes them feel terrible. And unfortunately, they may not have a doctor who can guide them through trying some different things to see what works for them. For others, there aren't the necessary financial resources to access therapy. Sometimes there's a lack of support in the midst of trying to address the problem, perhaps from their family. Or it could be that no one has been able to even identify the issue in the first place. I want to make sure that everyone hears me when I say that depression and other mental illness is complex. It might be hard to address, and the one with the affliction may not be open to receiving the help that they may need. Furthermore, we cannot control others and how they deal with their challenges. We cannot take on the burden of fixing someone or making sure that they stay safe from harm. We can offer our care and our concern and our prayers. We can seek support from other people who have walked the road of loving someone with mental illness or who has been through it themselves. But it is not our fault if someone doesn't seem to get better or if their illness leads them to make choices that aren't necessarily good ones. I recently read the book Awake by Jen Hatmaker. She and her now ex-husband married very young. I think they were 19, and they spent their life working in the church. It could have been a Baptist one early on. By the end of their marriage, it was a United Methodist one, but it was in the South and more conservative. Several years ago, she discovered that her husband was having an affair, and they have divorced. In this most recent book of hers, she speaks to the journey of making it through that difficult time, what it was like to parent her 6 children in the midst of it, how she began to date, and how she still struggles to attend church, because for her, there's a stigma around being a divorced person and the fact that her husband is a pastor and that this happened. But one of the very helpful things that she wrote about was her own struggle with depression and being on medication. When she began to recover from the trauma of her divorce, she started to feel more like herself. She said her spirit was back and she eventually went off the medication. But she writes this, which I found very helpful. For some of us, antidepressants are a permanent way to keep the ship stable. Thanks and thank God for them. They are not a crutch or an escape hatch. As her doctor, Dr. Amati, said, they don't indicate weakness. They are an invaluable partner to a steady, durable life. Renew them to infinity. Help your body help you. For others of us, we need them situationally. We may not typically suffer from depression or anxiety, but life handed us pain our bodies cannot keep up with. Meds step in like a crisis counselor and hold our hands until we get through. This was me, she says. As someone who's on medication and have been for a very long time, I appreciate her words. They were reassuring to me. Like the Jews returning to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, we are encouraged to arise. When we are feeling despondent or despairing, when we are struggling with grief or loss, we can remember to rise up and receive the gift of God's dawning light. If we struggle with depression either periodically or chronically, we are promised that on awaking and arising, God's light shines upon us and within us. Getting out of bed each morning can be a spiritual practice. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan, says that, quote, a spiritual practice is any act habitually entered into with your whole heart that awakens, deepens, and sustains within you a contemplative experience of the inherent holiness of the present moment. Therefore, getting out of bed, if it awakens, deepens, and sustains a contemplative experience of the inherent holiness of the present moment, then it is just as important as worship or prayer. Getting up can be a spiritual practice. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. This is God's good news for us this morning. Amen.